God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Let me read that one more again so you understand it in English, not King's English, British English. He that believeth on him is not condemned. In other words, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will not go to hell. But he that does not believe in him will. All right? Condemned. Perish. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, if you do not believe in the only begotten Son of God, you will be condemned. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness. Somebody say darkness. Rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Let's stay right there one more again. Let's go back. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Next. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. All right. I wish I could stay there all day. They don't like the light because what you do in the night gonna come out. No, you got me. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. They are by God. They are made by God. They are manifested by God. That he that walketh in the light, their good deeds will come to light, because God will make sure that they come to light. Let's just talk a few minutes about walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Walk in the light. I keep talking about him, and I never will give his name, but you've heard me say this before. I have a close fraternity brother who has lost all faith, and he's almost to the purpose of being atheist. He's right now at the point of being agnostic, not sure, but he's teetering on being an atheist. I told you once before, I'm troubled by the fact that I have a close atheist friend being a preacher of the gospel. But I now know why he is in my life and what role he plays in my life, because it surely keeps me on my toes and keeps me in the Word. The other day he asked me, why is there evil in the world? It's the question of theodicy that Job deals with. Why is there evil in the world? Why are 150 little girls stolen and kidnapped in the Sudan? Why don't little children have clean drinking water in India? Why is Trump our president? Why is there evil in the world? And if this God you say is so good, why does he allow evil in the world? Why is God, who is so good, and why is God, who is the creator, why did he create evil and allow evil to rule the world? Why does evil even have a footing? If God is so good, if God created everything, why did he create it? God can't create evil, because God ain't evil. It is not in his DNA. And I realize, Roz, that maybe it is that evil was already here, because darkness was already here. That what God actually did was brought light to darkness. Now, we think we only meet evil in a garden. We think the first time that we meet evil is with this serpent, this snake, shows up in this garden. So it had to be that if he shows up after God, that God had something to do with it. But you got to go all the way back to the fact that the first thing that God did was bring light. Oh, somebody been in Sunday school. To darkness. That it was already a darkened plasma. It was already dark in the earth. It was already barren and desolate. But he shined his love on a dark earth, and that brought in light. Why does God allow evil? Why does God allow the alt-right to have a footing in America? Isn't it interesting that they march at night in the darkness? Hold right there. With torches they done bought from Lowe's. Why does God allow this group that we call the alt-right to now have a footing in America? Well, we had claimed we were in what we call a post-racial society, which ain't no such thing. That just because we got a little black president, that all our history and all about it going to be singing Kumbaya together. That we're in this post-racial society, that the country had came together to elect the first African-American president. That means that everybody love everybody, and there's no more such thing as racism and discrimination. But Sarah Palin told you even before Barack Obama took office that we're going to take our country back. You remember that, right? She said, we've got to take our country back. That was code words for the fact that we've got to keep America lily white. Now, if anybody wants to talk about we need to take our country back, that's going to got to be Kimo Sabe, Little Bigfoot, and Pocahontas. Not the one at Disney World, but the... But now we have on the scene this group we call the alt-right, which stands for alternative right. They are neo-Nazis. They are white nationalists. They are isolationists, which means that America should have no dealing with any other country. That we should no longer police the world, let them kill themselves. They are white supremacists. And so you understand the context, the reason why they descended on Charlottesville, Virginia. Charlottesville, the home of the University of Virginia, the home of Monticello, which was Jefferson's, the third president of the United States. That was his Camp David, Monticello, where he had his 500 slaves and his little friend. They descended on Charlottesville because the Charlottesville City Council decided to take down the statue of Robert S. Lee, which was the general who surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at the end of the Civil War. It was Lee who was the last Confederate general who lost. And there's a statue of a defeated general in the city square. It is the symbol for them of the South and white supremacy. And so by taking it down, it symbolically suggests to them that they're taking away their power. I still can't understand why anybody would still support a defeated country. Nobody really waves the flags of the Atlanta Falcons after they lost the Super Bowl. Clemson won the national championship. All us USC people just put our little shirts up and we'll bring them back next week. But they are supporting a defeated nation, a treasonous nation, all in the name of states' rights, heritage, and culture. And now we know that it is a heritage of hate, darkness. Darkness. The Bible says that people who are evil and who have bad hearts love darkness. That's why when we were in the world, the places we went to at night, And the darker, the better. You don't get to a club at 8:30. You don't get to a club at 9. You get there at 12:01. Ain't nobody want to be a witness. Y'all want to act like y'all been saved. You get there, I don't care if it's late as night and you can get in free before 11. You're going to get there at 12:01 when it's the darkest. There are some churches now that I cannot understand now whose auditoriums, they don't even call them sanctuaries. The auditorium is dark. And there's a spotlight now on the preacher like he's on stage. And I know Jesus is taught there, but I just can't get with it. There was a story the other day. I read a lot. I'm sorry, I'm going to keep you longer, George, than you probably want to be here. But there was a story about a church, one of those newfangled churches up in Charlotte, and one of the churches that got one preacher but 9 campuses, and he come down on the screen. And you read the story. A woman was in the manger church there in Ballantyne, and she was breastfeeding. And one of the ushers came to the lady who was breastfeeding and told her she had to leave. Oh, you heard about it. And the problem was that she says the lady came with a flashlight. Shined the light in her face and told her she had to get up. I said, that's the problem right there. Not that you were breastfeeding in church. That the lady had a flashlight. That the church is so dark that they have to have flashlights like ushers at a movie theater to show you to your seat. Our Savior is all about light. When we built this church, we thought about frosting the glass all the way to the top. And I told him, no. It's got to be natural light in here because Jesus is the light of the world. That he came to a darkened place to bring light. And that is what this world needs more now than ever. Is light. Because what light is and what light symbolizes is truth. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. The truth is the light of Jesus Christ. And that is what we need now more than ever. That there is going to be a period of condemnation. There will be a period of judgment. And we can't get away from it. But those of us who are walking in the light will not be condemned. We shall not perish. But we're going to live with him forever and ever more. I said we think we meet darkness in the garden. But darkness was already there when God got on the scene. Even though God has been here forever and ever, it was dark. And he brought his light to what he saw was a dark situation. And we meet this man called Lucifer, not in the garden. But Lucifer was already one of God's angels who was good and a good choir member who came every Tuesday night on time. But one day he decided not only did he want to be the choir director, but he wanted to be the pastor. And he tried to jump from the choir stand to the pulpit, and God couldn't have that. And when he jumped, God moved the pulpit stand and let him jump and fall. And now he's somewhere hovering in the sky. And don't look for the devil in a red cape with a tail and a pitchfork. He walked in here this morning. Oh, the devil loves to show up on the deacon board. He loves to show up so he can count the money like Judas. There's some ushers that will make you wonder if you come into the right place by their evil and nasty nature. And of course, he's always on the choir. And that's where he got here from. Why is she always singing the solo? Because she can sing. He will show up because he's sneaky. He will show up and hit you and you don't know you've been hit till you get home and find out you're bleeding. He is conniving. He is an ever-present help. I'm sorry, he's ever-present, because the Bible even says that even every time that the sons of God gather, Satan is in the midst. And that is why we've got to drive out darkness. And really, why this president is an accessory to murder. I said it. Because it's his language, his tweets, his bully pulpit that has allowed this mold now to have nutrients and light and darkness, rather, to grow. We didn't have this before his language. It was there, but it wasn't out. Oh, I wish I had enough time to say that. Everybody got something inside you suppressing. Everybody got something bad growing. Oh, ain't nobody want to talk nobody now. Everybody got something that you don't want nobody to know you think. Talk on this side. Maybe I have some witnesses over here. But you keep it suppressed. You keep it to yourself. Only you and God, and every now and then you got to cry and tell me about it. But you keep it on the inside. But what has happened is his presence has allowed a crack in the gate. Those who kept their racist and discriminatory language to themselves now got to go to Lowe's. That thing trips me out. These new old Nazis can't even get their own torches. They got to go to Lowe's and get stuff you put on your backyard for your cookout. That might work right there. And the cookout torch, that's really to keep flies away. I'll work on that next week. They hate the truth. And the truth is that all of us bleed the same color. And all of us will be judged. And there ain't going to be no races and no colors and no sexes in heaven. I want to remind you that God, every now and then, will give Satan sanction and permission to work on you. But he's got to get permission. Every now and then, some evil will happen in your life. But God is never going to let it happen and take you through something until you're prepared to deal with it. God wants to know, really, George, who's going to follow me? Who is going to follow the light, and who is going to follow darkness? The world was dark, the world was condemned, and then he brought to light, light. He brought light, to be the light of the world, to see who's going to follow the light. I ain't ashamed of it. Y'all watch Power, I watch Potter. That's Harry Potter. Got all the books, seen all the movies 4 and 5 times. In one of the Harry Potter movies called The Goblet of Fire, there's something called the Tri-Wizard Tournament. I ain't ashamed. Y'all watch Power, I watch Potter. Y'all the ones need to be. I watched it once or twice. I ain't be no hypocrite. Thank you. In this Tri-Wizard Tournament, there are supposed to be 3 wizards who are competing to be the number one wizard. And their goal is to get the Goblet of Fire. If you've seen it, they have this hat and it shoots out these names of the 3 wizards who are going to be competing. And after they are brought forward to Dumbledore, the fire flies out again and another name, being little Harry Potter, comes out. The problem is Harry is not 16 yet, and so the rules said that you had to be at least 16 years of age to compete. And so they wonder what's going on, how did this happen, because he's not eligible to compete. But Dumbledore says that if the fire sends out the name, he has no option but to compete. In the Goblet of Fire, there are 3 tasks. There are 3 kind of sub-terms. There are 3 games. The first game is that they've got to steal a golden egg from a fire breathing dragon. They've got to take an egg, a golden egg from this fire breathing dragon. Each one of the wizards gets the dragon. The second task is that they've got to go into this pond and stay in a pond without any air for about a whole hour and save one of their friends that has drowned. And while they are trying to get their friend who is drowned, there are serpents biting at them the entire time. And each one of the three witches plus Harry survives this ordeal. But the third and final ordeal is that the four competing wizards are put in a dark maze. And the goal is to find the goblet of fire that is at the end of the maze. The maze is completely dark. There is no light in the maze. But each contestant has to use their senses to find the end of the maze where the goblet of fire is and their exit. But throughout this maze, throughout their challenge, there are always things lurking within the trees and the forest that you cannot see. Their goal, Erica, is to get to the light. But throughout the maze, there are unforeseen situations and unforeseen aspects and unforeseen serpents and devils and witches that come out of the trees to try to prevent them from getting towards the light. This maze is life. It is life. Our goal is to get to the light. That's why I want to see him, because he is the light. I'm living down here in order to see the light that is my Savior. And I want to fall down on my face and say, thank you for saving me. But all along life's journey, like this maze in Harry Potter, there are things hitting me. There are things attacking me. There are things pulling on me to try to prevent me from getting to that light. It's life. And if you're born of a woman, your days are few and filled with trouble. But you got to always keep your eyes on the light. And as the story goes, two of those other wizards are killed by creatures and serpents in the maze. Harry, another contestant, see the light. They are running towards the light. And a root, help me somebody. Somebody, I know one or two of y'all done watched it with me. Joyce, I'm in company with Joyce, Lord help me. And a root grabs the ankle of the other contestant. They are both running with all their heart and with all their speed to get to the light. But a root grabs the other contestant. Whoever touches the goblet of fire first wins. Harry is free. But he sees his friend, even though he's his contestant and quote-unquote enemy, being taken by the root. He could keep on running like most of us would. Especially if we know there's a check in the goblet. And because we just have a spirit of always gotten to win and be number one. And the root is pulling his friend down. Trying to save somebody today. He's pulling him down into hell. But Harry doesn't keep on running. Harry backtracks. And goes and frees his friend. And they both run and touch the goblet together. No winner is declared in the contest because they touch it at the same time. I heard my grandma say, you can't crown them till I get there. Because all of us who love him All of us who adore him, all of us who are looking for that light, we going up at the same time. And when they crown him, I want to be there. When they crown him, I want to be at the welcome table. When they crown him, I want to be there with the angels and cry out, holy, holy, holy. You ain't got to worry about choir practice on the other side. You ain't got to worry about having your lyrics down. You ain't got to worry about being in the right key. Ain't but three words you got to learn in the heavenly choir. And that's holy, holy, holy. I might have to learn, walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright down here. But over yonder, I said over yonder, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna lay down my burden. I'm gonna run to see my Savior. I'm gonna fall on my face and say, holy. I said, holy. I said, holy. Anybody besides me trying to walk in that light? Anybody besides me trying to see that light? I wanna see him. I said, I wanna see him. I wanna see him. I want to see him one day and say, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for Cynthia for loving me. Thank you for Leah and Ian. Thank you for good parents. But most of all, most of all, most of all, thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you love my Lord, say yes. If you're open to his spirit, say yes. If you're walking in the light, say walk. I said walk in the light. It's a beautiful light. Come where? Stand on your feet. Roz and Erica, you know.